Hazrat Imam Ahmad rahimahullah has narrated a hadith. And what is this hadith? This is the, you can say, summary of the total and complete deen of Islam. And praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah, those people who have understanding, for those who have understanding, it's a very necessary and important message with regards to the akhirah and with regards to the deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all understanding, and on top of listening, may Allah ta'ala give the whole ummah the tawfiq to do amal on this. The reason is just this. Today, for our loss, negligence, and our issues and problems, the reason is just one. That if we look individually or collectively, if we look individually or collectively, if everybody is, you can say, immersed in problems or issues. Somebody is distressed, somebody's got a problem, somebody's in a mess in his affairs, in his life. But Islam is such a deen, a way of life and religion, that every breath of our lives we get guidance from Islam. And we get the direction that we need of what we should be doing each step of our lives. We get assistance, we get help from Islam. And this is an ajeeb qawm. It is a happy nation of the believers. But why are we in a sad situation nowadays? We have problems, as I said, difficulties, worries, distress, calamities. And all around with this, and this hadith, Imam Ahmad rahimahullah has stated that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated that the person who obeys me, the person who obeys me, ita'at. We all understand this, don't we? Itaat, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this hadith, Allah Ta'ala is saying that whoever, Allah is stating it, that whoever obeys me. Now, the meaning, definition of itaat is simple. For example, follow, to accept. Like, for example, I am on the motorway and you stop and say, oh, I need some direction. Oh, you need the direction. Oh, I'm going the same way. Can you tell me the way? Oh, okay, you follow me and we'll get there. We'll get to the same place. You should follow me. I'm going to the same place and you will also get to that same place. So then when I tell the person to follow me, how will that person follow? Step by step he'll follow, isn't it? Or won't he? Wherever I turn the car, he'll turn. Where I stop, he'll stop. Whatever turns come, or any guidance or signs come that I follow, the person will follow me. And I'll look in the mirror, is that person following me and taking my guidance? And if I get to that place, the destination, and I look back and he says, thank you very much, sir, that we've reached our destination. You helped me get here. And how did we get here? Because he followed me. I said to him, isn't it, follow me. I said, why did you get here? Oh, because I followed you. He says, okay, do you want some tea or something to drink? So this is called following. So if Allah Ta'ala says to his servant that follow me, obey me, this is what Allah is saying, that the laws I've given to you, the principles I've given to you in the form of the Qur'an, and what? Not hadith. What will I say here? In the form of the Qur'an and subhanallah. In the form physically of Allah's Mahbub sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That if I say hadith, then there's a lot of tricks there, and the person will say, oh, follow this hadith or read the hadith. Only the person who can study follow the hadith, isn't it? But here we're talking about the physical being of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala sent him for this reason, just like Allah sent the Quran in the form of a kitab. Allah Ta'ala could have sent the hadith as well in the same way as revelation, but in both, for both to understand, Allah Ta'ala sent his Nabi, the ita'at, to obey, to follow Allah footstep by footstep. We have to follow and obey Allah, the Quran and tafsir of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life. We have to follow footstep by footstep. For example, that person was lost and I'm looking in my mirror, I told him to follow my car. If after a while he's disappeared, I say, huh, where's that person gone? Where were you? He says, oh, I thought that I'll turn off here and go this way a little bit. And I reached to my destination, but the person who went off track, he got lost. He just took a little turning. He took one turning before me. Oh, maybe this is a shortcut. The guy in front of me, he doesn't know. You know, this happens, isn't it? That I'm telling somebody to follow me, and the person's following me. He says, oh, he's going the long way. I think this road on the left, why don't I go through this way? Shaitan does this, doesn't he? So then he wanted to get there in haste, And instead of going behind me and getting to his destination, he took the right and, oh, it's a shortcut, I know this route now. And where does he get to? He gets lost. He goes from the Janub to Mashriq, from south to east. This is practical, isn't it? And I looked in my mirror and he's gone. I said, oh, where's he gone? He said, he's going to follow me. And after 2 hours, he comes to me. I said, where were you? He said, oh, I thought it was a shortcut, but you reached there and I stayed behind. I got lost. These are examples, a great example practically I've given to you, that what do we do in life? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that do my ita'at. This is that hadith, eh? Hazrat Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi, who narrated this hadith. Allah ta'ala says that obey me, follow me. And how do we follow Allah? How do we obey Allah? That everything that Allah ta'ala has given to us, we have to accept the deen as it has been given to us. And that's it, that's life. When we say, Allah, I believe you, I believe in you, then this is what this means. When we say, if we believe in Allah, then where everyone's following their own track and ways. So for example, if you follow the motorway, you'll see the sign, 16, 17, 18, 19. And for example, we've got the year now, 2017, 18, 19, will come 20. Allah's given a hukam that in every day and age, century and decade, we have to follow Allah's guidance. But if we think we're going to look for shortcuts and follow our desires, then we will be tricked and we will come off track. If we follow the shortcut of life, it's a dirty shortcut. And where's the shortcut of life go? Straight into Jahannam. This is the shortcut. You won't get lost, you'll fall straight into the ditch of the hellfire. This is very dangerous. And this is what's happening with us nowadays. We have so many shortcuts we've made in the life of Islam. Oh, what's this sin? This ain't a sin. I don't think this is sin. How can you say this is sin? Ah, it's too extreme. What's the loss with this? What difference does it make if I do it? Everyone else is doing it. Why are you telling me not to do it? And we forget that what has Allah Ta'ala said about this action? A, B, C. What is Allah's order? And every man is following his desires, his opinions. The things we like, oh, it's not a sin. It's okay, other people do it. This person said, I can do it. I'll stay, I'll get left behind. We'll look like we're extremists, fundamentalists. We'll look backward. What will happen to my children? They won't advance. They won't progress. What does Allah say on the right? Just like Allah who created the heavens and the earth and the skies. And Allah knows. Allah said, I will create a people, a human being who will believe in me. And I'll make ease for them that they will have no pain in the world. And when they have no pain in the dunya and they will live so easily in the dunya. And when they die, they will go into paradise easily. This is what Allah Ta'ala's plan was. Allah Ta'ala said, this was the qawm that I created. Allah had the ilm, the knowledge. And then Allah Ta'ala prepared for us. Allah Ta'ala said, I have this kitab, Lawhi Mahfooz. Allah Ta'ala said, and all of the guidance has come from that to explain that I sent my prophets and I sent my Habib, the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, prepared. For who did Allah Ta'ala prepare all this for? For Jabir, for Iqbal Sahab. I don't know this brother's name. What is it? Mulana Sahab. It was for him. For Umar Sahab who's sitting here. For this person, Yahya Sahab. All, every person, Allah Ta'ala says, every one of you is valuable and precious. Allah Ta'ala has said, I've written your names in the heavens, in the skies, that you are going to be born in this year, you're going to live at this address, and you'll be a believer, and then you will go into the dunya. Then Allah will say that I sent this person, this woman, this sister, this girl, this boy into the world, and this is my guidance. And if you follow my guidance that I've given to you, in the form of the Quran and Rasulullah, then you'll be very comfortable in the world. Allah says, whoever follows me. Now let's listen to the next word of the hadith. The next word is, Allah Ta'ala says, whoever follows me, obeys me, Allah says, I am pleased with that person. Pleased with that person. Allahu Akbar. Imagine this now. Allah is pleased. All of the deen and the dunya, we see the summary that Allah Ta'ala says that whoever follows my car, yeah, remember I gave you the example, if you follow my car, we'll get to that city or town. So Allah says, whoever follows me, follows my car, then I become pleased with that person. Allah Ta'ala doesn't say that he's successful, has given the higher status than that. Higher status than that. Allah says, I've become pleased with you. So this stamp of approval, of pleasure, Allah says, you get that in this world and the hereafter. The person who follows Allah, he doesn't need to worry about dunya, because Allah's pleased with him. He's walking around happy. Oh, I've got nothing to worry about now. Allah's happy with me. I don't need to worry about the world and dunya and this and money, etc. Allah Ta'ala doesn't say here, if you follow me, that you'll be successful. Allah says, I go one step further, that I will be pleased with you. I'll tell you one thing that's in my mind. If my mind keeps on moving, inshallah, with the health, then I'll explain this one. So when Allah Ta'ala says, I'm pleased with you, what does this mean? That the power of all, Allah is happy. Allah's given you health, Allah gives you rizq, money, your lifestyle, society, your well-being. You're going to breathe every second in and out, in and out. Allah gives all of this. For example, you work in an office. and you have an office, yeah? And your officer, your boss is unhappy with you, and he's never happy with you. And the head, for example, he's your friend. Yeah, he says, look, I'm happy with you and you're my friend, but are you going to worry about the person who's below him? You aren't even worried about that person who's your manager when the head of the department's your friend. You say, forget him. Why is he unhappy with me? Because you have a direct link with the head of heads, the top manager, the top boss. Allah Ta'ala says that I am happy. So if I'm happy with you, who can dare in the universe to give you harm? Allah says that I will sow the seed. That earth, can it not give you the plant and the fruit and the vegetable that you want? How can it not give you what you need to eat? Will it not give you? Will it not give you the produce? Wherever you are, if Allah Ta'ala is happy with his human being, Allah Ta'ala says, wherever you put your hand, it will turn to gold. Whichever shop you will stand at, the customers will start coming. Whatever job you go to, there will be success for you. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala says, the head, the section head, the head of all of the business is happy. So how can the manager, the line manager, come and spoil your affair? So what's the condition here? Allah says, follow me. So we sit and we cry and we complain that, oh, I've got problems, I've got problems. Allah Ta'ala says, stop and put the right stone on your stomach and eat halal. Stop committing the sins, stop lying, and stop committing excess and oppression in the dunya. And the sins that we see around us, we need to stay away from them. So whose fault is it? Allah Ta'ala says, I've given you a massive guarantee. Follow me, come to me. Come to me, come after my Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and see then what happens, my rada and my pleasure, how it will come to you. And this is what Allah Ta'ala says. Allah Ta'ala says that I will be pleased with you. Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar. Allah says, if you follow me, then I will be pleased with you. And the next step, Allah Ta'ala says, I will give barakah to you. That at the moment my mind is not well, my body is not well, but the point has come to my mind. So there's a point here that comes to mind, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives rizq to everyone. Allah ta'ala hasn't said, I'm Rabbul Muslimin. Has Allah ta'ala said, I'm Rabbul Mu'mineen? Has Allah ever said this anywhere? Allah says, I'm Rabbul Alameen. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. First, Allah ta'ala is introducing and praising himself to us. That don't think I'm just your Rabb. Where Rabb comes the word, Allah says, don't think that you are the only people who are rightfully in need of me. Allah says, even the disobedient is mine. Even the disbeliever is mine. Even the one who criticizes mine. Even the person who worships the idols is mine. Because the whole makhluk is mine, says Allah. So where will all of this go? Allah ta'ala says, who will give them food? Who will give them drink and sustenance and provisions? Who will give to them? Who provides to them? Do you think they will die hungry? That they will live hungry? Allah says, they are my creation, the human beings. So Allah Ta'ala said first, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. We say, praise be to Allah, Lord of Alameen, the universe, not Rabbul Muslimin. So this doubt can come out of us. And there's a very big point Allah Ta'ala has made clear here, that drinking, eating, standing, sitting, walking, talking, everyone's the same. Don't be in doubt that if you've got food, your business is running, you're eating the chickens, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only happy with us. No, Allah says, I am Rabbul Alameen. Whoever believes in me, Allah says, I'll give to him. And whoever disbelieves, I will give to him as well. Whoever does shirk, I will give to him as well. Allah says, this is the decision of the hereafter with regards to the iman. So if a person who has iman and he thinks he's better than everyone else, or if somebody who has got no iman and he thinks, I'm eating because I've got no iman, Allah says, I'm Rabbul Alameen, I give to everybody the same. So to understand who I am really, Allah Ta'ala says, don't use the criterion of food and drink and that I'm happy, Allah is happy with me even though I don't have iman, that because everything I've got in life. Allah says, this is not my basis of pleasure. Whoever I'm pleased with, now listen what I give to them, Allah says. Those people who I'm pleased with, and they are special people. Who are those people? Who follow me, Allah Ta'ala says. So here the difference is created between the people of the dunya and those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with. Allah says, I give them barakat, blessings. Now I'll explain what is barakah, blessings. Barakah, the difference of barakah is that Zayd is eating, the disobedient person's eating, the mushrik's eating, everyone's eating, isn't it? But barakah is not there. What is not there? Barakah, because they don't have that iman and that conviction and belief. And when there's no barakah, then it's just a person who's physically doing the actions. You got rice and he's just eating, fill up the stomach, fill up the stomach, fill up the stomach. You see a person who's hungry and he just wants to fill the stomach up. Just fill up the treasure chest, fill up the treasure chest, the safe. Just greed and greed. And people are killing each other or beating each other or outdoing each other to get more than the other person. This is without barakah. I feel like I want a car. Oh, he's got that car. Then I steal that person's car in the night. Or let's take his money. Let's commit robbery. Take that person's car. Take his money. You see, ooh,
these dramas in the world. And when does this happen? When barakah ends. When there's no blessings, when there's no qanaat and satisfaction, when there's greed, banditry, people commit excesses. What is this the sign of? When there's no barakah. And where there's barakah, blessings, subhanallah. The people of barakah, if you see their life, you will be surprised. Where's this barakah coming from and how is Allah Ta'ala giving them barakah? Aha. I remember one event at this time. Our grandfather, Shaykh Hazrat Fadl Ali Qureshi, rahmatullah, these were the people of barakah. Barakah. Blessings, who had attained blessings. This was his khanka in Miskinpura. And you are, mashallah, spiritually his children. That's why I'm telling you this. And there were darvish and his students would come from all over to his majlis on Thursday night. Just like we do a dhikr. So, mashallah, this fakir has the link with the khanka. Those people, just like the Manchester khanka that used to fill up on it. Used to, mashallah, we used to a lot of ronak. Is there anyone who comes there now? And we used to have langar, and there used to be a lot of gathering majlis, and Qari sahab, mashallah, used to come there. So this is the tariqah that from far and wide the darvish would come, they'd stay and eat food and do their dhikr adhkar and listen to nasiha, eat, and then in the night they would disappear, everybody. Subhanallah. So there, Hazrat Fadl Ali Quraysh, his khanka was the same, his hujra, his khanqa, and people would come from far and wide on the Thursday towards the night and the night of Friday. From all over the dunya, people used to come to his majlis, and he was a fakir. And there were no chickens there. There was no goat or sheep like today in the khanka. We have the sheep, 15. Who is this? Oh, this is being sacrificed on this person's name for the sake of Allah to feed. This was the headquarters of the fakir. Hazrat used to say, my sheikh, that I used to be very grateful that for my darvesh who were coming to the gathering. These were his words. That it's easy for me to plow my fields. That I see them on the rocks and do dhikr, and the rocks in my fields become so soft. He said, I can't buy a tractor, I'm old, I can't even drive the tractor, I can't do anything physically. He said, this is my tariqah, I'm telling you the truth. Hazrat Sahib is witness of this. He said that we used to sit on the rock solid stones, and those stones used to become soft, and in the morning then Hazrat would go to his field and plow the field. And this was a very great statement of Hazrat Fazal Ali Quraysh rahmatullah alayh, where he said that when I see the soil, I make the soil soft with the dhikr of Allah. When I insert the seed into the soil, I say it with the name of Allah. So first I make the soil soft, the stones they break up and crumble to dust, and I insert the seeds with the name of Allah. And then when I take the harvest, then with the name of Allah, with the dhikr of Allah, we take the harvest. And our wives, when they grind the corn at home, the corn that comes from the seeds and the wheat and the harvest, then they also do this with the dhikr of Allah. They grind the corn. And he said, then when my darvesh come in the evening on the Thursday night, then they make the chapatis and the bread. Your mothers, with the dhikr of Allah, they do wudu and they do dhikr of Allah, and then they make the chapatis. So when you eat, you should also do dhikr of Allah to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how Hazrat used to speak. The walis of Allah, they are deep in the understanding. So this was the food, and it used to be potato curry. Those potatoes and the spinach and the vegetables that would come out of Hazrat's fields, he would harvest, he'd cook the vegetables, they would have a vegetable sort of curry, and they'd put the vinegar and the salt, and then everyone would eat the chapatis and the food. After 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, now after dhikr, it was a lot of enjoyment eating that food. Hazrat used to tell me this. So this is an event of barakah, I'm telling you. And never did he ask for charity, never would he beg from people. Darvesh were coming, rich people, wazir and rich and wealthy or poor. So one day the noise was made, the Hazrat is inviting everyone to a feast. Subhanallah, fakir, wali of Allah is a great human being. So there was a sort of rumor in the Jama'at, the Hazrat is inviting everyone to feast. And these words spread fast. It was a dawat, feast, that today is biryani. We call it pilau rice, you call it biryani, for example. So Hazrat, this word reached to Hazrat, and they never heard of pilau or eaten pilau. That how the meat, you need meat in it, you need the yakni, the gravy, and Hazrat stayed quiet. Because all he could, he just broke the spinach from the plants. I'm telling you a true waqi'ah in his kitab. So he broke the spinach, he broke off the spinach in the vegetable. Ammaji ground that down, and mashallah, so they prepared the food, the spinach, the saag, and presented it. And there were candles that were lit in the night. There was no light like we have electricity. And who was even eating the spinach? Was like, subhanAllah, great pilau. Nice pilau rice. Oh, Hazrat, you've cooked so great food. And they were enjoying the food. All the fakirs was after so long, would the fakirs get roti, chapati and saag or meat. And, you know, they were all, mashallah, not people well off. And they're all smelling the pilau. And what did Hazrat Sahab make in the house? Saag, spinach. So this is what you call barakah, blessings. That they're eating the food, and those people of barakah in their homes, with their niyyah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates the things and the items with their niyyah. So much barakah was in the house, that saag spinach, Allah transformed it into pilau and biryani taste. And those who don't have barakah, you can see all the things in the house, they are like dirt and sand. You'll have mounds and piles of money in their banks, in their boxes, in their homes. And their children waste their money, throw the money down the drain. And they cry, oh, you gave me this, I want more. Why didn't you give me? It was spent here. I came here, this car, this businessman, I remember. Oh, I had 100,000. My 100,000 went here. I'm telling you about here. I'm so fed up that I used to close my ears in the morning when I used to hear the complaints. So I couldn't say to him. That, for example, I said, look, I used to put the fingers, there's so much he was complaining, that he said, 100,000, this went here, that went there, all my business has gone downhill, I've got no barakah, no blessings, so much money I've lost. And what is this? This is due to lack of barakah. Those people of barakah, alhamdulillah, they get up in the morning with the fadl of Allah, and they make niyyah. Allah, whatever have they have niyyah, Allah gives them the food. The doors knock, that please give us this food, and that same food is cooked. Someone says that, I've made this for you, I've cooked this for you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's barakah, what is this? And how do we get this? The barakah? Me and you, we cannot get this. If today we do ita'at to Allah, I swear by Allah, the whole ummah of Islam will get the food in the same way. The whole qawm Allah gave, Bani Israel, the whole nation, Allah gave them food from the heavens. Imagine that when Allah promises that if you follow my Nabi, I will give to you. Allah said, leave food and drink, I will give from my tandoor, I will cook it for you. Sweet dish, food, dishes, and I'll send you the partridge and the quail, bater, and the great standard of food Allah Ta'ala sent, and the sweet dish, manna wa salwa. This is such a great dish that Allah Ta'ala, that in the morning when they would wake up, Bani Israel. And you know, just like we see the Shabnam, we see they used to eat that food, manna wa salwa, the sweet from the heavens Allah would send to them. So was this hard for Allah to give food? No. It's not hard for Allah to give us the resources and the things we need. If we trust in Allah, believe in Allah and follow Allah, in reality, without even physical do anything, the roti and the food and the bread will come to the house. But if you say that, oh, I'm following Allah because I want to, you know, earn my crust, etc., Allah says, this is not the way. This is not the way of the darwish. You can't just lie down at home. You have to go to work, run your business, work with your hands, then use the means to earn the crust and the money. Because Allah Ta'ala knows that this is my servant, and he is tight, he's got problems, and according to his desire, why don't I give him what he needs? And many times you see, I'm a sinner, you mashallah, you are pious brothers, you will have experienced this in your lives, that you pray salah, you are dhakirin, you have nur on your faces in your lives, you are pious. Sometimes you will have felt, you want to eat something or do something, and automatically Allah will send it. And you say, I was just thinking about this, and Allah sent it to me, or gave this to me. Allahu Akbar, because this is due to itaat and following, obeying Allah. So what's the difference? Do you see the difference here in the barakah? This is the meaning of blessings. And barakah, according to your desire, you will attain the things you need. And this is called barakah. So Allah Ta'ala says, whoever obeys me, follows me, I become pleased with that person or those people. And those people I become pleased with, what do? I increase the barakah in their life. And on top of this now, additional, Allah says, I give such barakah that will never end. The barakah will never end. It will never cease. It will be without a zawal. Without an ending, without a setting. And can there be any doubt in this? Today our whole nation of Islam, people who believe Allah, I swear by Allah, I swear by Allah, everything is there, but the barakah has been removed from our lives. That who has the most oil today? We have the most oil in the world. And who has the resources in the world? Who has the most rivers? Pakistan, go from north to south. I don't know about India, but look at Pakistan. Start from the north, from the Himalayas, and go to the south. I swear by Allah, go in every climate, every season. You'll get every climate, season, and resource. You'll get heat, it's severe heat. You'll get mountains. You'll get snow. You'll get ice. Whatever weather you want, climate, region, environment, there's no place in the world that can compare. From the morning, start from the north. And there'll be snow, cold, chilly. Enjoy the coolness. And as you come, you change the states and different places. You will see different climates. You'll see different foods. You'll see Bombay, Karachi in the south. Heat. and humidity. Every type of vegetable, every type of fruit, every type of food, different types of apples, different species of everything. Everything is, but nowadays if we are eating a mango nowadays, it will be like we're eating some other fruit. If we eat an apple, we think we're eating something horrible because the enjoyment's gone. Why? Because the barakah has been lifted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of our disobedience. Allah ta'ala has given everything to us. And as soon as we leave the planning of Allah, leave the orders of Allah, leave the lifestyle and schedule of Allah. But if we were to turn back and obey Allah and follow every child, woman, mother, father, man, woman, if we changed and improved our lives, I swear by Allah, then everything will come out of the earth that Allah ta'ala has promised to us. There's no need for us to cry and run around. So straight and pure Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us His word and His deen, but our hearts do not listen to Allah ta'ala's words. We have no yaqeen that Allah's obedience is something. That is Allah there? Is Allah there who will give to us? We say, no, it's us. As long as I'm here, as long as I'm earning, I'm going to be rich and wealthy. And if I don't commit fraud and cheat and lie to people and take other people's money, I can't become rich. That's what I'm thinking nowadays. Okay, Allah's there. Yeah, He gives, but forget that for now. Let's leave that some other time. Look at this person. He doesn't obey Allah. Look how rich he is. And we think he's happy. You think he's happy? Go and sit 1 week with that person in his house and you'll see how happy he is in his heart. You think he's got money in a big house and a car? Live with that person for 1 week and see his happiness in his life. Pray to Allah that Allah makes us obedient to him. That is there a loss in obeying Allah and following Allah? Is there a loss or is there a gain? Tell me. Let's promise from today that whatever we do in life, whatever we say in life, don't think that there's a loss. Think, Allah has guided me here. Allah has advised me to do this. Allah has given me the direction. No way will there be loss. Don't think, look, I can see some gain here. No. I don't think this is wrong. I don't know if this is right or wrong. I've got no knowledge. I feel like I don't pray and I like looking at things that are not good. What's wrong with this if I do this? Where's it written? Think, what has my Rabb said? Who Allah is saying, follow me. So I need to follow Allah. Every second, like the example I gave you, are lost and you ask that person, can I follow you? Are you going to that town? He says, yeah. And you follow him all the way left, right, everywhere, you'll reach to that town. But if you turn off taking the shortcut, falling into the fire. So this is the hadith of Hazrat Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal Rahmatullah. Now we come to the second part of the hadith. Hazrat Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal said on the hadith that those people, Allah says, who don't follow me, who don't obey me, what happens? So on the first part, Allah says, those who follow me, I'm pleased with them and I give them barakah. And those who don't follow me, my ghazab will come onto them. Two opposite things. Two opposite things. Allah Ta'ala says, what is itat? In this dunya, there are two examples. One are those who obey Allah, and secondly are those who don't obey Allah, who don't follow Allah. So the person who obeys Allah, who follows Allah, who listens to Allah, who are those people? They were all of the noble companions, radiyallahu anhum. Pick up every sahabi's life, and his life is a reflection of following and obeying Allah. Every companion, you'll find one thing in his life, obedience. Never will you see in a sahabi's life disobedience. Rasulullah s.a.w. said, that's enough for me. That's it. No, don't do this. No. Order came. Rasulullah s.a.w., Allah's Nabi s.a.w. said it. That's it. I don't need to ask again. Second question. And they were so used to sins before Islam. From decades drinking alcohol, they realized that alcohol is haram. The whole of Medina, the streets and the gullies and the alleys were full of alcohol. They didn't say, oh, we'll leave it slowly. Oh, it's too hard for me. We're so used to it. How can I leave the sins? This is not Islam. Hukam came, this is not right, not allowed. Doesn't matter how you're used to doing that sin you are. The sin of the eye, zina, speaking rubbish, or doing sins, all the dirty, impure physical actions. Doesn't matter how many years you are used to doing that sin, when the order comes, the sin goes out of the window. That's it. I remember there was a person, he became a Muslim, he was a musician, English person, quite a long time ago, he became a Muslim, and he came, and he said to me, I said, how are you? Assalamu alaikum. Are you okay? And he said, what is Islam? I told him about Islam. This is the example, I tell you. I forgot his name, the poor soul. And he said, there's one thing, Hazrat. I said, yes. He said, I'll become a Muslim. I said, okay. And he said, I can't leave music though, he said to me. He said, a guitar, I love the guitar. I can't leave this. I said, who told you to leave it? He said, huh? Don't leave it? I said, I'm talking about Islam. And you believe in Allah's one? That's it. He said, yeah, that's easy. I can believe in Allah's one, but I can't leave the guitar. That's too hard for me. I said, don't worry, brother. You will leave it yourself. Just believe in Allah. That's all you have to do. And you will listen to everything after that. The Rabb, when you believe in your Rabb properly, then you will listen to your Rabb's orders. So I said, at least believe in Allah. He said, I said, yes, I will believe in Allah. He said, you believe in Allah? Then it's your choice after that what you want. Whatever your heart feels, do what you want. I have no link with that. My job is just to tell you that this is Allah and Allah is one. And you need to prostrate in front of Allah. And after that, I won't want to say anything to you. You do whatever actions you want. You know best, then your Rabb knows best. He said, okay, fine. Totally. He said, I can do this. I said, yep. He said, okay, tell me about Allah. I told him about Allah. He said, Subhanallah. And he recited the kalima, the statement of faith, and he became a Muslim. After, he said, what's the order? I said, learn how to pray. Salah is important. It's a good action. He said, what else? He said, do I have to leave anything else? I said, don't leave nothing. Don't need to leave nothing. He said, what about alcohol? He named the alcohol. What's the name of the brand of the alcohol? He mentioned a lot of people drink it. He said, that's my favorite drink. I said, fine, carry on. Carry on. I said, I have no link with your actions. All I wanted to tell you is introduce you to your Rabb, Allah. Yeah, and you believe in Allah, and I'm telling you that you need to pray, and Allah's ordered to pray. He said, I heard in Islam you can't do this, you have to do this, you can't do this action. I said, I don't know, but I just told you, believe in Allah, that's enough for now. Such a simple way of da'wah to explain Islam to a person. Allah Ta'ala put this into my mind to guide him in this way. Yeah, so time passed. He said, that's very easy. Very easy. That is that a foolish person who doesn't become Muslim? He said, that's fine. Just pray Salah, is that it? I said, just pray Salah. And I said, even if it takes 10 years, you just stand at Salah time and put your hands together and say, Allah, Allah, and that's pray. That's it. He said, anything else I have to leave? I said, nothing, just pray your Salah, believe in Allah. He said, okay, fine. He was happy. Soon as he recited the kalima, I tell you verbally, then his color changed. His form changed. The effect of the kalima, I'm telling you verbally now. He physically changed. The effect of Allah's name happened that time. Another person came. Another point, a wali of Allah, a person came to wali of Allah, he said, Allah, Allah, Allah. What is the effect of the name of Allah? I don't feel no effect of Allah. He said, there is an effect. He said, what's the effect? He said, I don't believe. He said, are you a donkey? That you don't believe Allah's name is an effect? He said, you call me a donkey? And he went red. He said, I called you a donkey and you went red-faced. Do you think Allah's name won't make an effect on you? Subhanallah. How can this be that Allah's name won't have an effect? If by calling you a name, you became red in your face. So this is something to experience. So his color changed. He was a sadiq, that person becomes him. He said, when can I meet? I said, it's very difficult to meet. Time, I have a time, a location. So after some days, I realized he came to meet me. I said, how's the music? He said, oh, no, I broke everything. He said, I broke everything. I left it. So he said, I hate. I dislike it now. I said, your guitar that you loved. He said, no, I don't like it anymore. He said, I tried. He said, I tried it, but so much I felt uneasy and uncomfortable at that time after becoming a Muslim and reciting Allah's name that I felt hatred for that item. I said, what about you? What you used to drink? That brand that you really loved. I can't remember the name of that. He said, oh, it's bitter now. Bitter. Horrible taste. Oh, don't talk, Sheikh, about these things. Don't talk about these things. Why? Because I told you that when a person believes in his Rabb, then Rabb also allows him to come to the path. Very dangerous point here. The person who believes in Allah's Rabb, then he believes in his Rabb as well. He listens to his Rabb. And if he doesn't believe in his Rabb, then he doesn't listen to his Rabb. And this is the punishment that Allah Ta'ala gives, that this person hasn't believed in me. That he, the fire of Jahannam that burned for so many years, the fire, and the person, the sinner who's thrown into that fire, and they say, we believe Allah, says in the Quran, you didn't listen to me though, did you? You said you believe, but you didn't listen to me. The person who listens to his Rabb, then he definitely listens to Rabb, whoever believes in his Rabb from the heart. And the disobedient, the biggest punishment is that he didn't listen to his Rabb. So Allah Ta'ala says this, that me, when I start to sin after today, after speaking this discussion today, and I commit a sin, and while I sin under disobey, and I say that I am not the one who believes in Allah, this is a slap in my face. Tell me, who will commit a sin after today? Can anyone dare to commit a sin? Imagine that I sin after today, and I say, Allah, I don't believe in you. Because I'm sinning, because I don't listen to him. The person who believes in Allah, he listens to Allah. And the person who doesn't believe in Allah, doesn't listen to Allah. So here we are deceiving each other and ourselves with our sins. After sinning, I say, Allah, I believe in you. No, I'm lying to myself. And when I say that I believe in Rasulullah, I'm lying. But I don't believe in Allah's Rasulullah. If I believed in him, then I would listen to him. I would obey him. I would follow him. Every one of his life actions would be beautiful to me, beloved to me. I would imitate him. I would love to imitate him. And the question wouldn't arise that I would never follow his way. But the reality is that I don't believe in him. I say I believe in him. The first verse of the Quran, Alif Lam Mim. We say we believe in Allah, but we have not got iman in our hearts. Let's be honest about this. We haven't. We say we've got iman. But we haven't got iman, Allah Ta'ala says. Allah says, if you have got iman in your hearts, you know what I'm telling you to do. You know the meaning of iman. The definition that, listen to me, follow my orders, comply with my orders. So this is such a pure and easy program of life. And look at the punishment of disobeying Allah. Is this a small thing? When a person sins, sin equals fire. What is sin? I gave you the example. All of the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhum, they never committed the sin where Rasulullah said, leave this, they left it. X, Y, Z, they had an example of disobedience. What was that? Shaitan. Shaitan, when he disobeyed Allah one thing. I'm not going to prostrate to Allah that you've ordered me to prostrate to Adam. Everything else, he was a worshipper, a dhakir. So we realize that from the first in the time, that even a small thing that Allah Ta'ala told him to, and he disobeyed, he became shaitan. So we, if we disobey one order of Allah today, we will become like shaitan. We'll become like devils. And we, so many sins in the day, in our hearts. Ramadan, there's not a better Muslim than us in Ramadan. The masjids are full. Everyone's praying, worshiping. As soon as Ramadan goes, we disappear. Muslims, the angels are looking. Where are those people who came to Fajr in the masjid? Where are they? The angels look in the masjid. They're gone. The masjid's empty. Where have they gone? They've left Allah. Is this a qawm? Are these the people who believe in Allah? Allah Ta'ala says that the person who doesn't follow me, obey me, then I send my ghazab on those people. Allah's wrath. So Allah says that my ghazab, my wrath, my punishment, after becoming pleased, if Allah is pleased, barakah comes and the whole of the universe becomes pleased with Allah. But when Allah's wrath comes, then the whole of the universe becomes enveloped in that wrath. And this is the truth, that if Allah Ta'ala becomes angry and Allah curses, this word here, ghadab, that Allah Ta'ala says the lana is comes upon us. If a person's disobedient, the trees, the mountains, the streets, if he's sitting under the shadow of the tree, all of these things curse him. Mountains, rivers, pavements, roads, buildings, trees, shade. He's plowing the field, his corn, it burns. His crops, they burn, they perish. Too much water comes, floods come into the land. Destruction comes into his house. There's no peace in his heart, no happiness, arguments, quarrels. Why? Because he's made his own rules. And if he had lived according to Allah's rules, that whatever he cooks, the spinach, and the people who are eating in his feast, they think it's pilau. But today we cook pilau, and people, they taste dirty things in their mouths. The food's not nice. Why? Because there's no barakah, because Allah's ghazab is on that person. Allah's ghazab, because he's disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now tell me, if somebody says it's too hard to leave the sin, oh, it's too hard, I'm not ready, then be ready then. Be prepared. If you don't want to leave the sins, if I don't want to leave the sins and enjoy life, fine. Sin. Carry on making the excuses and joking and laughing, but Allah's laws will not change. This is sahih hadith, I'm telling you. Sahih hadith. And this hadith is going in parallel. First, if we follow Allah, Allah says, I give barakah, and I'm pleased with you. And here Allah says, if you don't follow me, if you do the sin, Allah says, I send a la'na on those people. La'nat. Curse. So on side A is barakah. And the person who sins one sin. One. I'm not talking about hundreds of sins. Oh, what's this sin? I only did one sin. It's okay. Why you keep pestering me? It's only for a few days. It's only 5 minutes I'm sinning. Why are you telling me not to sin? No. Allah said sin. We have to be very, very cautious. Extreme khawf. What taqullah, Allah says. Is this a small word? Massive statement. Massive phrase. Ask to Abu Bakr Siddiq, what was the meaning of what taqullah? He was asked. Ask Abu Bakr Siddiq. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, Amirul Mu'mineen, commander of the believers, and he is rubbing his face, forehead on the earth. His beard. He said, Umar, don't be destructed. Don't be destroyed. Will I be forgiven? How will I answer on the day of judgment? Umar radiallahu anhu. For him, already Rasulullah had given the good news of paradise. And today, at that time, it was said, we know that he is laying at the feet of Rasulullah. And his hal was what? As Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Imagine, he said that I won't go. I will take permission for going in, for my being buried there. Get me the ijazah. Look at his maqam. And when he was buried there, lay there, the voice came that keep him inside, leave him inside next to me. So I'm going to ask his hal, what taqullah, but he had so much khawfir, like I've told you before. Has Usman radiallahu anhu.
On six times in his life, the Prophet ﷺ from his own blessed tongue gave the good news that Usman, you are forgiven. From the heavens the news has come, you're forgiven, paradise. But he kept on crying. When he would see the grave, his beard would be wet, dripping, because he had yaqeen and he did not lose the khawf, the fear of Allah. Even though the glad tidings had been given to him six times in his life. So don't think that when you do ibadah, you don't fear Allah. No, khawf should be the first thing that comes in your heart. That I do dhikr 4 days and I don't have fear, I can do what sins I want. No. Khawf means today you start doing dhikr, after 1 week your life, the sins should be falling off your body, your lives. Like I've told you, the new Muslim, he was a new Muslim, good Muslim, and he was a Muslim for so long and he left the sins. And we have to stick to the sins. Oh, I can't leave this sin, it's hard. He became a good Muslim because he believed in Allah. He said, I have no enjoyment in those sins, Shaykh. I can't go to the sins now. Don't talk about the sins. And how can I practice this after I've left it? And he said that I'm surprised, he said, on the Muslims. He said this one day, he became Muslim, that I'm shocked. He said, I've seen Muslims, I've seen them in such places. I said, how can they believe in Allah? They're sitting here. And he went into reverse sort of emotion. Why? Because those people, was he believed in Allah and he followed Allah. Allah says that those who leave my deen and do the sins, then my ghazab comes on those people. And after my ghazab comes, the lana comes. And on the other side, Allah says, my barakah will never finish, will never end. And here on the other side of the net, Allah says, my ghadab comes, I send the lanat. And listen, 7 generations, my lanat will continue in your 7 generations of your offspring. Massive, massive warning. Now see, if I sin, and I live my life of sin, my son, his children, their children, their children, to 7 generations, you will see the effect. You know, they have the inheritance. The inheritance, the wealth. This person's inheritance, wealth, wealth, it comes from the generation. The person's not praying, no deen, haram, unlawful people. To the 7 generations, the children, they earn that sin. And it cannot be shrugged off, because Allah and His Rasul, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, have said this. And if Allah said this, this will happen. To the 7 generations of descendants, Allah says, I destroy until with my fadl, somebody comes out of that family who does tawbah and ask for repentance. Allah says, otherwise the destruction continues for 7 generations. That's why today, our qawm, generations of destruction and curse. Have we seen the hal of the Muslims today? Look at our wretched state as a ummah. Wretched state. For generations, generations, disobedience is increasing in each generation. Today, if we go to our country, what is there 20 years ago, we'll see it worse now, the Islamic country. What we were before when we were young, when I went to Umrah in Medina, I remember the first Umrah I did in the 60s, and if I go today to Medina, how it's changed. And there I was shocked, what dunya have I come to? Where have I come to? Hotels and glitter and all people wasting time, and I just stood there shocked, gaping, what Medina I came to first and what is Medina now? And just go out a little bit away from Haram, there was a sheikh, a friend, and once he said, so I said, let's go out. He said, let me go and take you out. Let's go out. I said, is this also Madinatul Munawwara? Is this what people are doing? We went out a little bit further from Haram, because we just stayed towards the Haram. And Makkah, we go to Haram and the Kaaba. Just go a little bit out away from the Haramain. And everything's changed. You'll see commerce, commercial, dunya, materialism. Why is this? Why is this happening with us? Because Allah Ta'ala had said that as long as you follow me, that's fine. And not just you pray Salah, you're fine. Oh, you think you're obeying Allah with Salah. Ramadan comes, you fast and you're obedient to Allah. And that's it. No, Allah says, my obedience, follow me every second. I'll give you the example. Don't take the shortcut. You think you're taking the shortcut and you will lose your way and it will fall into the ditch of Jahannam. To the 7 generations, the punishment will come. My brothers, let's not fall into the deception of our nafs. What Allah has said is haram every second. Tests come, challenges come, problems come, highs and lows come. Allah says, I'm challenging you, give me the test. And then we get scared and say, no, it's halal. Oh, it's alright, no one's looking. And we get scared and we start shaking. It's alright, it's okay. No, stick firm. What Allah said, doesn't matter what happens, I cannot do this sin. That's it. Because I've got to die one day. How long am I going to stay alive in this world? How many decades? If I think I'm getting some temporary benefit in this world due to sinning, then the white hairs are going to come after some years, aren't they? The white hairs. Then you're going to get ill. And then after that, you're going to die and leave the world. Then what's going to happen? Then what's going to happen then? And then how big a punishment that today I sin and then I die, I don't do tawbah. For 7 generations, will anybody forgive me? Nobody in my family will do dua for me. Now I'll be struggling in my grave for those 7 generations. If today, if I die in this way, then at least if I did something good, maybe someone good for my children, they'll read Quran. But the children, they forget the Quran. They leave their Quran, they leave the amal of the deen. Allah says that I take them out of amal and I put them into the dunya, and they have no care that their father died. And then their shops, and they say, oh, you got the Quran in your heart, you're a hafiz. Oh, I ain't got time for dad, I'll do it in Ramadan. I ain't got time now, I've got to make my money. Doesn't matter how many hafiz and alims you leave, but if they're disobedient, if you leave the world disobedient, then you leave the ghazab on your children and they won't even remember you for a second. Look, this small hadith, but big subjects come out of this hadith. I haven't even started the commentary of this hadith. If I start the bayan, then the whole of Islam will come out of this bayan. Is the whole of Islam not in this hadith? Where are we? We're lost in the darkness. We're blind. We don't even understand what's the Quran. We don't even know what is the Islam. We think Islam, sin is nothing. A sin is just some cheap action. Oh, prayed salah, that's enough. Don't tell me what else to do. No, salah is an Islam. Disobedience. Allah says, my ghazab will come. Then who will ask about your salah when you sin? Allah says, for me, your salah is nothing. One thing, if I tell you don't do this, that's it. End of story, Allah says. End of story. Yeah, we can't make our own rules and principles. What's the life of a mu'min? The life of the mu'min is one. Alhamdulillah, ita'at. Every second of our life, we should be stuck to the obedience of Allah. Every second, such a great kitab. Allah says, Quran, that if I reveal this on the mountains, they would crumble to dust around the whole world. Imagine Ayatul Kursi, the verse of the throne. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was sitting. Listen to this event now. Alim scholars, you may know this. The Sahaba who were the Sahibi Quran, who were the companions of the Quran, they're sitting next to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As Abdullah bin Masud radiallahu, as Ka'ab radiallahu, top class scholars, mujtahideen, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked them a question. That I want to ask you a question. Tell me the answer. That what is the greatest and best verse of the Quran? What a question! What is the best and biggest verse of the Quran? Tell me. And those six Sahaba said Ayatul Kursi at the same time. And they listened to the answer. Rasulullah said, I'm so happy that my Sahaba have understood the Quran. My companions have understood the Quran. Why? Because Ayatul Kursi, there are five subjects, and I will go off track, otherwise I'll carry on. They will be quite lengthy. The asal thing here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has to his servant, he created his servants, human beings, for servanthood. Don't think that we are here for some any other reason. Unconsciously, consciously, I don't know how a person, that should I drink this or not? If I drink this, I know that this liquid is haram. I've got the information and I should have the information. What is lawful and unlawful? If I know it's haram, I know something's unlawful, and I still make an excuse. Oh, I'm forced to do it. Oh, it's too hard for me. And I still do that action. Then for that person, this hadith is enough. And he cannot be a human being, that person. He has no hal. Doesn't matter how much salah, prayer. If he is committing the sin, he's deceiving Allah. And putting a veil in front of the deen, then he's a massive sinner. And there's a big solution for this. A great, easy. We haven't died yet, have we? Have we died? We're still alive, isn't it? We're still alive. So Allah is above. Raise the hands and ask Allah for repentance. Your new life will start. That you don't need to feel sad anymore. Lost. Allah says, I'm waiting that I give you the deen and the guidance to start a new life, a new lease of life. Can you not start? You can. So if you say, Allah, please forgive my previous sins. I was an extreme sinner. From today, Allah, I will set my life and my program that this fakir who has spoken, I've understood what he said. And from today, I am in loss until today. That I am totally in loss until today. I always thought I was wealthy and I had a lot of deeds to my name, but from today, that's it. I'm going to think about my qabr, my grave, and the sand and the dirt that you brought me to the position, Allah, that now I understand the deen. And however you keep me, I'm happy, Allah. Whatever is according to your desire and happiness and pleasure, whatever I get, I will accept, whether it's a little bit or a lot. I raise my hands and say, Allah, I'm doing tawbah to you. And this is the tawbah we have to do, and the life will improve. Allah will go on your orders and on your pleasure, not on my pleasure. So do we make this decision today? Alhamdulillah. And your life previous cancelled, your 40, 50 years cancelled, new lease of life, obedience. What will be that life? Follow me. Come behind me, Allah Ta'ala says. Follow me and obey me. So all salah, forget everything that we've done, anything, it was all a drama for today. Did we practice anything? Was there anything of any benefit? We were in deception and darkness. Allah Ta'ala's obedience is the true essence of the deen. Put the water of all of the salah and Quran and Ramadan. Sit down, say, Allah, I wipe this slate clean. If you want to give me the reward for this, fine. But from today, I start a new life. And the biggest ibadah from today, the biggest worship action, Allah, is to obey you. Wherever you say stand, I will stand. Where you say sit, I will sit. Where you say don't do this, I won't do this. Whatever you say, ibadah comes after. First is obeying you. Listen to you. Allah says, if you reduce your ibadah, you're not good in it, I will forgive you. But if you disobey me, Allah Ta'ala says, sins. If you go to the sins, then that is where the loss will come, the wretchedness will come, and the curse will come. So if I say, Allah, I'm your servant, and I will not sin after today. That's it. Solid promise. Then tell me, will your salah break? Will you ever make excuses? Will you say that Allah was forced to do this, I couldn't do this, it's too hard for me? Then see where the excuses come from. Today, if we believe in Allah totally, then inshallah we'll start listening to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Everybody agree? I make the promise first, I will make the promise, and you also make the promise. Allah, I'm weak. Allah, give me tawbah. Give me true tawbah today, and all of the drama I've done up till now in my life, all the drama and ibadah, fake stuff I've done, and I keep displeasing you, and I was prostrating and pretending, and I was sinning and doing tawaf. Allah, forgive me. Give me the pure khalis life. Give me pure, even if it's a little bit, with your fadl, with your karam. Give me the right path, the true path, and from my heart I have taken out the greed of the world. Whatever I get due to your happiness and pleasure, that is the principle of my life. End of story. Ameen, thumma ameen. Recite the Ruh Sharif.